Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Cool. So here we go, Ruth. So as I said, Marty kicked it off last week. If you haven't read the book of Ruth, it's only four chapters. It's really easy. You know, I used to think that's the book I'm going to read if I need to read something. You know, like you can get it over and done with really quick. I've read a whole book of the Bible. So read Ruth, and that's what we're doing in this series. And as Marty shared, Ruth had a choice. She had a choice to leave her old country, and she had a choice to follow Naomi. She could have gone back, but she chose to go forward and go with Naomi. Marty shared about how Ruth's story points us to Jesus, and Jesus' story changes our story. He showed and the picture of the Hasid love of Christ. So the Hasid love means kindness, faithfulness, loyal, merciful, a love without condition. It's a covenant love. So Ruth is the only other book in the Bible besides Esther that is named after a female. And the book of Ruth is actually described as a poetic or a love story or the bringing of two lives together. And that is very true, but there is so much more in this book that we can find than just a love story. So the setting of Ruth, which is really interesting, because you can just read it and think, oh, this is just lovely and beautiful. But actually where the positioning of the book was placed was to give hope to a nation. So in that time, the people of the Judges were actually in a violent, bleak, black days. There was violence everywhere, and people were just doing what they saw to be right in their eyes. So that's why it was here and positioned where it is in the book of the Bible. So the book of Ruth was thought to be penned to bring hope to a nation, and as I said before, for God to emphasize his covenant and promise to a nation. And maybe you're sitting in here today, or maybe you know people too, that are in a situation and you're like, there's just nothing happening. But can I tell you that there is a hope and a covenant love and a Hasid love that wants to come around all of us today and give us a hope. In the book of Ruth, God's name actually is never directly mentioned, which I was like, really? And I went back through looking for it, but his name is not actually mentioned. But we can see from the stories and the characters of this chapter and these books that they loved God and that God was faithful to them. And human decisions. God is working behind the scenes. So this book demonstrates that God will provide for a nation and for each individual needs. God is at work in the everyday mundane things of life. He's at the work in your life. You know, you get up in the morning, you go to school, you go to work. God is at play and working in your everyday life. So Ruth is more than a love story. This book could actually be titled, The King is Coming, God. Either patterned, promised, or present. So let's kick off. So we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1. Here we are. So we're just going to read the first five. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out, and he happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So in those days, and the customs of the law was that for the poor, if you had a harvest, if you had a field, you would always leave a little bit on the side for the poor, so they could come and gather some food. Went to Boaz's field. The question is, was it just coincidence or was it just luck that she happened to come across his field? She had no idea who he was. She had no idea the part that he would play in her life. She had no idea that he was part of the family line. So when we look at that, we see, what was God doing? What was he doing behind the scenes? She said to Naomi, I'm going to go, I'm going to help provide, we need food, we need to eat, so I'm going out and I'm going to find a fat God ordering and directing so that his will could be accomplished. was God providing the needs of her everyday needs to continue and outwork the bigger picture. Ruth, as I said, did not know that she was in his field. God was moving behind the scenes. You know when you play chess, who here likes to play chess? Yeah, awesome. I did as a kid. Maybe you're part of the chess club. But you know what, when you're playing chess, and I'm just going to go here and I'm going to take this one out, and in the part of it you're like, oh, they're just making little moves and it's just a little pawn, it's not anything. But you don't know, and it's just like, I guess, with God and us, when God's just doing these little things in our lives, we don't see the big play that's about to come into part. And it's just like this story. There's these little things that are coming about. She just stumbled across Boaz's field. She just happened to be there. But it's all these little things, even the part where Ruth had to leave her old and her past to get to this field to make a bigger picture and a bigger plan. So God is moving behind the scenes of your life. In Luke 12:24, and it says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor they reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you? Yeah. So just like Ruth, God cared about her everyday needs. But how much more valuable, just as she was, are you? I love Ruth. So funny, as I said, when I studied her and looked into her story more, I just thought it was just this basic love story. But when you read into it and you look into the pages and you're reading behind, I guess, the lines, you just see a powerful story of what God is doing. So what Ruth had to do, she left the old, and this is incredible. She left the old, she left the past to make way for the new and the future. Ruth's made such a public declaration. You know what? I'm leaving my old village. I'm leaving the God that I things behind, and I'm following Naomi to step into the new. Yeah, she demonstrates a boldness. She demonstrates a risk. Yes, she was poor. She did not have much, but she was a gutsy woman. She was very gutsy. Yeah. And we can think that as well, like, oh, you know what? To follow Jesus, oh, you only follow Jesus when life is bad, when stuff is going bad, when my health is just not going great, when I've got no finances, when I'm at the dead end road. And we can think that's what it takes. Guts, it takes courage to stand up and say, I am following Jesus. So it's not for the mentally weak, it is for the strong. So let me tell you, Ruth was anything but weak. She was bold, fearless, and she was trying to make a way in her world. But she knew that she needed something more. Remember, she didn't know Jesus. She had left her old gods, her old culture. She was stepping into something new. She had to make room for the new. And that's a question I have to tell you today is, what do you need to leave behind to make way and embrace the new in your life? For us, you know our story, and you might hear it for a little bit until it gets a bit too old for you. But we had to leave the old. And for us, like, Our old life wasn't bad. Living in Sydney wasn't bad. Like, we thought that was amazing. But the thing is when you have to leave the old, sometimes life can just be very comfortable. And that's having to leave that behind. And over our two-year journey of coming here, it was Marty first, as I had said previously, if you've heard our story. But I had to come to a place, okay, I'm going to come too. And I remember being on holidays and running on the beach of San Remo and thinking, God, what are we doing? Is this, yes, the beach is beautiful, but is this what you want for us, God? I'm happy where I am, but he just spoke to me. And it's funny because the vows actually came at our wedding were from Ruth 1, and it said, where you go, I will go. We could actually. And I remember, and God reminded me, because I was just like, God, I don't know, I'm so happy, we're comfortable, but there was something stirring in us, and it kept stirring in us. And then God reminded me, and he said, what did you say? Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, your God will be my God, your children will be my children. We already had children, thank the Lord. But I was like, okay, God, I surrender. I surrender to you, I surrender to your will, I surrender, I guess, to Marty's lead and direction. And in my heart, I was standing there, I just stopped dead in my running at me, and I was crying, and I'm like, God, I will go. I will go. I will leave the old. I'll leave the past. And as I said, it wasn't bad. We were comfortable. We were just like, yep, let's go for it. But I was like, nah, where you go, I will go. And God, sometimes it might be even stirring us. It may not be leaving a geographic place or He could just be, okay, what's in your life that you just need to leave the old behind and step into the new? I love Ruth because she just shows us an incredible example of how God uses the least or just the ordinary to get all the glory. If we look at Ruth, she was a Gentile, so she wasn't part of the promised people as an Israelite. She was a widow. She had no children. She was in a foreign land. She had no dollars. That's why she was gleaning and reaping, gleaning at the fields. She was at the lowest of the... Look at the rank of it. It starts off with the king of judges, or the king or judge of Israel. There's the tribal leader. Then there's the clan leader of Bethlehem. Then there's the clan subgroup leader, which would have been Boaz. Then there's the older father. Then there's the father. The eldest son, the son. Then there's the wife, which would have been Naomi in the status ladder. There's the daughter, the male servant, the female servant. The female servant, lower class. Wow, it's a long female alien, foreigner. And that was Ruth's status. So she was number 16 on the ladder. And I think, wow, why did God choose this woman? Why did Boaz choose this woman? You know when you're at school and they have class sports and they call two leaders to the front. And then they've got to start picking and they're like, Annie, you can come and be part of my team. Or Katie, come and be part of my team. And do you know when they usually choose those people in the sports team, the ones that are going to like help win the team? Well, for me personally, growing up, I was never very sporty at all. So I was usually at the bottom, the last three or four or one. And I always hated it. And I'd be like, why are they choosing her? I'm actually better at that soccer game than that girl is, but she always got chosen first. And I guess it would have been like for the women in those days, they would have seen Ruth coming in, this Gentile that had no money, had no husband, had no children, had nothing going for her. And you could just imagine, there's Ruth, Boaz, he's chosen this girl, he would have been handsome, and they'll be like, oh, why'd you choose Ruth? Aren't I part of the Israelites? I'm the chosen people. I'm better looking than her. I'm not poor. So if you're thinking the whole story, you're like, wow, why was Ruth chosen? Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. It's crazy when you like look at your own life and you're like, just how you've gone from here there. Maybe you're in this room. Maybe you've had a loss within your family. Maybe there's been failed marriages or relationships, or you've had health issues. But God doesn't want to, and I believe that He doesn't wish those things to happen to us. But it's in those times and it's in those seasons, and it's like, what is God doing? As I said, my life was comfortable, but what was God doing in it, and what was He doing and stirring? What is He doing in your life when you might be feeling like there's just lack? There is no. Ruth was very unfortunate. She had lost everything. She had nothing going for her. All she had was her mother-in-law. That'd be like Marty getting up and following Mum out the door and going to a new land. My mum, but anyway. But can I share that God is moving behind the scenes. He is lining it all up for a greater purpose and a greater vision. And what's God lining up in your life? Yes, as I said, it might be hard. What is God doing behind the scenes? What is He about to do to put your life into checkmate? God is about to move. In Ruth 2, verse 8, verse 9, it will come up on the screen. It said, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the... Hey, come and be... Just take the little leftovers and the scraps. He's actually saying, come and be part of this community. Come and sit at my table. And in those like three verses, he had seven commands. Seven commands. So we'll just run through them really quickly. If he said, do not glean in another field. Eat, hear, come. Do not leave this one. Because when Boaz told Ruth not to go to another field to glean, he's basically saying, hey, this is your cupboards are full, this is yours. So in that, he is giving her protection and he's giving her contentment in him. And that's just like with us and Jesus. When we come to him, he is giving us contentment. Number three command that he gave Ruth was, keep close to my young women. Number four, let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping. And number five, go after those women. So basically, he's giving Ruth purity again. No longer will she appear to be of a woman of ill worth. I'm giving you value. He is making her clean. Number six, it was, have I not charged the young men not to touch you? As I said before, no men could touch her because she was now in a community. And number seven, this is a powerful one. He says, when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink. So it's very symbolic because of a woman to have been number 16 on the ladder, basically, to drink of the vessels of a man who was of high stature. Wow, like that's pretty powerful. Like she is worth, wow, come and drink. He's not just offering her a drink, he is welcoming her into his community. So the book of Ruth is a gospel story. A gospel story is a new way of looking at life. And just like our story, your story might feel really random and feel like it's all over the place. But God's Hasid love is continually guiding us. At the time, it can feel like God's so distant from us, and maybe you felt like that in your life, and you're just like, God, are you? But the powerful thing, God's love is constantly guiding us and with us all the way. Just keep on trusting him because he has a bigger plan, he has a bigger scope, and he can see, as I said in that game of chess, he sees the whole picture of what he's doing. And Marty is going to continue the series over the next couple of weeks, but the powerful thing about Ruth is as her story unfolds, and we're going to see how her story leads us to Jesus. So I don't want to ruin it for you because it's pretty powerful. Things and the small parts and lining up to give us a promise and a future. And that's what Ruth's story is basically leading us to the promise, Jesus. And you may feel like in your own life that there is no lack and there is no future, but can I just encourage you what is around the corner? What field, just like Ruth, that you are about to happen and come across? And in your faith, and I love Anne's story of like, you know, probably for years you would have been believing for your back to be healed, but to just come across. You know, whether you're being believing for someone to be saved in your life, don't give up. Maybe there's a family member, maybe there's a job, maybe there's financial things, maybe there's just God, what's the hope? What's my future actually going to contain? Can I encourage you? You just don't know what's about to happen or what's just about to come around the corner. When Boaz invited her in, this was her reaction, and it says in the Bible, immediately threw herself, at the feet of Boaz. So she fell to her feet and she's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm not worthy. And that's like us with Jesus and over our life and over things like, yes, we stuff up and we make mistakes. But God says, hey, come and sit at the feet. Come and throw yourself at the feet. And we can throw ourselves and be like, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I am not worthy, but you have made me worthy. Just like Boaz, he made Ruth worthy, made her of reputation and gave her a stature. Josh, if you want to come up and play, that would be amazing. And we're going to close soon. But what's your story? We all have a story. We have a powerful story. And you might feel like in your own life, okay, my story is at the dead end. My story is, oh God, why would you take me through this? Why would you take my family through this? And as I said before, God doesn't wish it upon us. But what is he doing? But your story, just like Ruth's story, can lead you to Jesus. Your story can lead somebody else to Jesus. Your hard times, those difficult seasons, can actually lead someone to Jesus. Then, because when they meet Jesus, something powerful happens. He changes their story. Where they may have been helpless and lost, he comes in and he says, I'm coming and I'm going to change their stories. If you look up across this room, there is so many different people. We all dress differently. We all act differently. Is that every single person in this room has a story. And your story is not just for you alone. And if you are in that place, because one day you might feel, now I'm not ready to share my story, but your story is for somebody else. And when you speak your story, he will change their story. The Hasid love of Jesus is, he just provides, He is such a generous God, a loyal God, and I love, he doesn't then just come and take his hands off you. He continues to keep his hand and his covering over you. I just want to show a photo, and I was reading over it. I like to journal because I like to journal. And for us to get here, we needed a miracle to happen. And I was like, God, over that year, God took us through a lot. And I was like, Jesus, we're coming. And God reminded me of his seed love and his provisional love. Sorry. We needed finances to get into our school. And we have had someone say, you know what, we're going to support you $100 a week to help you get into that school. We wanted a house, and I wanted a house with timber floors. And then God, we found a house. It was the perfect timing when we arrived, and it had timber floors. And we had to sell our cars to get a better car to drive over, and just everything lined up to get here. And I was so reminded, because I've been like, oh God, our God is a provider. Our God just opened up everything. And I was reading and just over my journals, and I was just like, God, you answered those prayers. Your Hasid love was displayed over everything there. Everything had a tick next to it. And I was just like blown away. But then I was reminded of the incredible provision of God. Just because God answered those miracles, you can take it down now, which will be cool. Just because God answered those doesn't mean that he is going to stop now. When God answers a promise, and when he works in each and all of our lives, his hand does not come off us when your back is healed or when a job opportunity has come out. He's like, oh, okay, I put you there now. You're all by yourself. Off you go. No, God's hand is continually over our lives. His seed love, his loyalty, his covenant is continuous every single day. Yes, there might be times where it feels like you are alone, but his seed love is with us every single day. So then I was encouraged, and I'm like, okay, God, you haven't taken your hand off us. I'm going to write another list. And this list looks different. It's more like, okay, we want to make friends. I want my kids to just fully be embraced in school and make friends outside of school. Okay, we need a kids pastor. All right, God, we're believing for that. And just, there's more on there, but I'm just like, God, your hand is not off us. And that's the same for you. You might be believing for something. His promise is coming. Whose field are you about to happen and come across? The miracle, you might already be in a place. Oh, yeah, I've seen that miracle. But what else are you believing for? What else are you believing for? If you don't have something to believe for yourself, believe for somebody else. There's plenty of people in this room and in this city that need the love of Jesus and that need a miracle. Who are you believing for? So when God provides, just like Boaz did for Ruth, he gives contentment. The contentment of it doesn't matter what people think. It only matters what God thinks. A contentment of when you are in those bleak, dark days, that you can find a hope and that you can find a sense of peace and joy. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, you can find contentment only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ. He is your only contentment. As a community, as God provides for us, a community. And as a church, that's what I love about us. We are the age of life you are. Doesn't matter what you do, how educated you are, what culture you are from. And have a quick look. Look. There's so many different people. We are made up of so many different people. And sometimes it's like, in a church structure, sometimes this is the only time where you're going to have the youngest and the eldest and different cultures, different backgrounds. Like, we are made up of a community, and there's more people coming into our community, and we've got to be with open arms. Doesn't matter what they look like. They might have dreadlocks. I hope we get people with dreadlocks. Come on. We love it. It's powerful. Church is so powerful. As I said, you don't have to fit a certain mold. Be you. Just be you. That's the best model. Be you. Like Boaz, he invited Ruth, the least likely, to come and be part of his community. He married her, and she became. He shares over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see just how that promise really unfolds. It's incredible.